be back on time. We will now proceed with our second address this morning, Asa the Reformer. We now have much pleasure in inviting Brother Alan Eggington to speak to us.
My dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the glorious hope of Israel, we've seen in the life of Rehoboam how that he substituted the shields of gold for shields of brass. And now we come to consider a king who brought about a complete change of direction in the kingdom of Judah. The arrival of Asa upon the throne of Judah brought a complete change to the condition of the nation. The reigns of Rehoboam and Abijah were characterized by continual warfare, by idolatry, by walking and not serving God. And if we could go to the 1st of Kings and chapter 12, we find that Rehoboam sought to go against Jeroboam that the 10 tribes might be brought back and they might be united together. And so we read in the 1st of Kings and chapter 12 and at verse 24, "Thus saith Yahweh, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearken therefore to the word of Yahweh and return to depart according to the word of Yahweh." They hearken therefore unto the word of God. But we find that Rehoboam couldn't rest, that in his heart he sought war. And if we just go on into the 14th chapter, in the 1st of Kings chapter 14 and at the 30th verse, we read in verse 30, "And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days." This was the atmosphere in which Abijah, the son of Rehoboam, was brought up. And in the divine record of his reign in the 1st of Kings and chapter 15, we find in verse 6 these words, "And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life." Now why should it be, brethren and sisters, that in the record that is dealing with the reign of Abijah or Abijam, we should have that little piece of information? It's got nothing at all to do with the reign of Abijah. And yet the record says there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all his days. And the record is telling us, I believe, brethren and sisters, that war was the atmosphere in which Abijah was brought up. And so we find there in the divine record, there is that emphasized. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all his days. What was the condition of Rehoboam's reign? What had it got to do with the reign of Abijah? And the record is telling us that Abijah was a product of his father's hatred of Jeroboam. He took over his father's war. And so we read in verse 7 at the end of the verse, "And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam." And when we come to consider the reign of Asa, brethren and sisters, we find that there is a complete change and a complete contrast. And if we could go to the record in Chronicles, the 2nd of Chronicles and the 14th chapter. The 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 14 and verse 1. We find that upon the death of Abijah, the very first thing we are told concerning Asa is in that verse. "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Before we're told anything else about Asa, there is that contrast between the reign of his father and the reign of Rehoboam and the reign of Asa. The land had quiet 10 years. The warfare of the previous kings came to an end, And the first thing we are told about his reign was that in his days the land was quiet 10 years. And then we read in verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of Yahweh his God. He did that which is good and right. And that's an expression we find, if we could go back to Deuteronomy chapter 12. It's an expression taken from Deuteronomy chapter 12, where in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the nation of Israel are exhorted to observe and to do all the words that Moses commanded them. And so we read in verse 28, "Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of Yahweh thy God." And Asa did that which was good and right. He observed and he heard all the words of God's law. And there's only one other king to which those words are applied. If we could go to the second of Chronicles, in the second book of Chronicles, and this time in chapter 31, we find these words, that he did that which was good and right, are recorded concerning King Hezekiah. The second of Chronicles, chapter 31, and at verse 20. "And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before Yahweh his God." Thus did Hezekiah. The only two kings of which it is recorded, they did that which is good and right according to the law of Yahweh. The work of Asa in Judah, I believe, is an illustration of a New Testament principle. It is a principle which we find in Romans in chapter 12. It's the principle which states this: be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And it's a principle which we have to apply in our lives in the truth. We have to be positive. We've got to replace the evil of the world around us with things that are good. It wasn't sufficient for Asa to overcome the idolatry that filled the land. Something had to replace it. Evil had to be overcome with good. And that was why Asa was successful in his reformation, because he successfully removed the idolatry, but he replaced it with a covenant which they entered into with Yahweh. The principle is also found, of course, in the New Testament record, where we have the parable of the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit that was cast out of a man, and the house was swept and garnished and left empty. And we know the results, brethren and sisters, that he took seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And the result was, the last state of that man is worse than the first. And so we will find that not only did Asa cast out the evil, he also overcame that evil and replaced it with good. We could go to the second book of Chronicles and the 14th chapter. In the second of Chronicles in chapter 14, we find in verses 3 to 5 the initial purge of Asa against idolatry. And we find, if we scan down those verses fairly quickly, that he takes away the altars of the strange gods, that he removes the high places, that he breaks down the images, and he cuts down the groves or the Asherah that were present in the land. But the worship of those things had to be replaced. He couldn't leave a void. They had to be replaced. Evil had to be overcome with good. And so we read in verse 4, "And he commanded Judah to seek Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. He commanded the people that they should seek Yahweh God of their fathers, to do the law and the commandment." And then in verse 5 we find he takes away the high places. He takes away the images. And the word images there is a different word to the one that we find in verse 3. The chamarim, the sun images. Whereas the word in verse 3 relates to anything which is set up to worship. And we read in verse 5 that the kingdom was quiet before him. Again, the emphasis on the peace that was now established in Judah. The kingdom was quiet before him. And he used that time of quietness. He used that time of rest to prepare himself against the enemies of Judah. And so we see in verse 6, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. There was no war in those years, because Yahweh had given him rest. And Asa used that time to build defences, to prepare for attack which would surely come, and which in our lives, in the truth, brethren and sisters, we shall face the challenges. We shall face the challenges from the enemies of the truth, and we have to use the times of rest to prepare. And so in verse 7, he says, "Let us build these cities and make about them walls, towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us." And because they sought Yahweh, we read, "He hath given us rest on every side, and so they built and they prospered." The end of verse 7. So they built and prospered. And Asa's reformation was successful for that very reason, that not only was the idolatry removed, but they worked together. They built and they prospered. Yahweh gave them rest, and they entered into a covenant with their God. A period of rest was used that they might seek Yahweh, to do his law and his commandments. They built and they prospered. They prepared against their defences against the enemy. And so we find in verse 8 that Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000 out of Judah and 280,000 out of Benjamin. And when the challenge came, brethren and sisters, Asa was ready for it. And the lessons and the exhortations for ourselves, brethren and sisters, are so plain for us to see. How do we use the peace and the quiet, the time which our God gives unto us, the freedoms that we enjoy? Do we fritter them away? Do we go after the pursuits of the world about us, things in which there is no profit? Or do we follow the example of men such as Asa, who prepared his defences, who was ready for the enemies of the truth when they came? Do we seek unto our God, that when the truth is under attack, we might be found to have put on the whole armour of God, that we might stand against the wiles of the adversary? And so we find in verse 9 that the challenge came. It came in the form of Zerah the Ethiopian, and he came with a mighty host, 1 million men and 300 chariots. And Asa was ready, and he set the battle in array at Marishah. And Marishah means the summit. It was in the valley of Zephatha, and Zephatha means watchtower. And we find that the reaction of King Asa to the enemies of Judah was absolutely faultless. He did everything right. He met the challenge with prayer, and he placed his whole confidence in God. And so we read in verse 11, "And Asa cried unto Yahweh his God and said, Yahweh, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Yahweh our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. O Yahweh, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee." He didn't rest in his own strength, brethren and sisters. He said, it's nothing with thee to save with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Yahweh, he says, for we rest upon thee. In thy name we go out against this multitude. Let not man prevail against thee. And the word for man there is Enosh, weak mortal man. Let not weak mortal man prevail against thee. And so we see how Asa put his trust in God, how he had prepared diligently, that when things came to a head, when they came to the crisis, when they came to the summit, Marisha, he didn't trust in the arm of flesh, but he committed himself totally to God. And so we find that Yahweh smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. In the warfare of faith, brethren and sisters, we have to prepare diligently. In the times of peace that we enjoy, we have to prepare. We have to study, that we might from the watchtower put the battle in array against the enemies of the truth. We have to commit ourselves wholly in our lives to our God in prayer, not trust in our own strength, but to place our whole trust and confidence in Yahweh, who is able to save us even from the very greatest of odds. Asa's victory of faith over Zerah brought forth encouragement from Azariah the prophet. In the chapter 15th chapter and at verse 1, we read, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. And Azariah has a message of encouragement, a message direct from God. We see in verse 1, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah for this very purpose, that he might encourage Asa in the work that he was accomplishing. And Azariah means Yahweh has helped. And Yahweh had indeed helped Asa to overcome Zerah on the principles now stated by the prophet Azariah. We find those principles in verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Yahweh is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. What a wonderful principle, brethren and sisters. James tells us similar things, does he not? Where he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And Azariah, we are told, was the son of Oded. And it's interesting, brethren and sisters, that if you look in verse 8, the prophecy is referred to in verse 8, not as the prophecy of Azariah, but as the prophecy of Oded the prophet. I wonder what the reason is for that. I'm going to make a suggestion. The word, or the name Oded, means to reiterate. It comes from a root word which means to repeat. Yahweh is with you while ye be with him. And we shall find a little later on that that's a lesson which Asa forgot. And yet it's a lesson that is reiterated and repeated in chapter 15. We find the principles of Asa's success repeated in chapter 15. As we've seen, evil must be overcome with good. Yahweh will be with you while ye be with him. We find that principle illustrated in respect of Asa in this 15th chapter. But first of all, the prophet gives an illustration of those principles in relation to the 10 tribes of Israel. There in verses 3 and 6. First of all, in verse 3, he says, now for a long time Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Then in verse 4, he says, But when in trouble they turned unto God and sought him, he was found of them. That's the principle. Yahweh will be with you while ye be with him. And Israel had been without God, and he'd forsaken them. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. And that's what verse 4 is telling us. That when in their trouble they did turn unto Yahweh and sought him, he was found of them. If we seek him, he will be found of us. And then in verses 5 and 6, brethren and sisters, we find the illustration of the words that if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. And so in verse 5 we find that there was no peace to him that went out, to him that came in. And in verse 6, God did vex them with all adversity. Because Israel had forsaken him, then he had forsaken and vexed them. And in verse 8, Asa heard those words, and he understood the principles upon which God would work with him. And he takes courage, and he commences a further and a more thorough purge of idolatry, knowing that God was with him because of the encouragement which the prophet Azariah had given him. And he goes forward in his work, knowing that God was with him, knowing that God would support him, provided he was faithful to God. And so, scanning the chapter, we find in verse 7 that he receives exhortation and encouragement. Be strong, therefore, he's told. Be strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when he heard those words, as we've seen, he took courage. And the word courage is precisely the same word which is translated as strong in verse 7. He's exhorted, be ye strong therefore. And when Asa heard those words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took strength. Same word. He took courage and put away the idols. He reacts immediately to the exhortation of the prophet, with the promise given to him, your work shall be rewarded. And Asa commences this renewed purge of idolatry. And it was far more reaching than the first. We find in verse 8 it includes the cities that were taken from Mount Ephraim. It includes the removal of Maacah, a member of his own family, one of the favourite wives of Rehoboam. The altar was rebuilt. The strangers out of Ephraim and Manasseh in verse 9 and Simeon fell to him out of Israel in abundance. They saw, it says, that Yahweh his God was with him, and they flocked from Israel to join with him. The strangers out of Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon fell to him out of Israel in abundance. And that was the commencement of the problem that he has later on with Baasha. They saw that Yahweh his God was with him, and they flocked to him. And so we find in the 10th verse, in the 3rd month, they gather together in the 15th year of Asa's reign. And in verse 12 we read these wonderful words. And they entered into a covenant to seek Yahweh Elohim of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. They entered into a covenant with all their heart and with all their soul. And in verse 15 we read, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and Yahweh gave them rest. What an exhortation for us, brethren and sisters, that we should seek him with our whole heart and our whole strength. And he was found of them. Yahweh is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. And he was found of them, because they sought him with their whole desire and with all their heart, Yahweh was found of them. That's what we read at the end of verse 15. And Yahweh gave them rest round about. In verse 19, we see there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. The land was cleansed of idolatry. The nation rededicated itself to God. The evil, the idolatry, had been replaced by the people entering into a covenant and in faithful service to God. And then we find in the 18th verse, the temple was rededicated and filled with holy things. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And those are the lessons for us, brethren and sisters, today. That when we're surrounded by evil, by covetousness, which is idolatry, we can't just put those things away. We have to fill our whole lives in the truth with the things of God. We have to be positive. We have to overcome evil with good. But then we find, brethren and sisters, that Asa had 20 years peace. And that 20 years peace, brethren and sisters, had a disastrous effect upon Asa. The events of the last 6 years of his life we find to be a complete contrast to his earlier example of faith. And so in verse 1 of chapter 16 we read, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa king of Judah. We saw in the previous chapter how they came in numbers to Asa because they saw that God was with him. And so now Baasha takes some of Judah's northern border and commences to build Ramah. The reason, as we said in verse 1, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Now Baasha means to stink and to be offensive. And he built Ramah, and Ramah means the height. But especially it is associated with heights that are associated with idolatry. And it was a mere 7 miles from Jerusalem. And we can see a little bit of Asa's state of mind if we go to the prophecy of Jeremiah, where in Jeremiah in the 41st chapter, the record gives us an insight into the activity of Asa at this time. So in Jeremiah chapter 41 and at verse 9, we read, "Now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was it which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha king of Israel, and Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with them that were slain." And that was Asa's state of mind. He was in fear of Baasha, king of Israel. Asa, brethren and sisters, was terrified of the threat upon his northern border. He'd forgotten all the lessons he'd learned with the matter of the Ethiopian host that had come against him. All the lessons of the first 35 years of his life had been forgotten. And so in the 16th chapter of the 2nd of Chronicles, we find in that 16th chapter, we have 8 contrasts with his previous behavior in the first 35 years of his reign. The 2nd of Chronicles chapter 16, we have these 8 contrasts with his earlier faith and his earlier trust in God. The first of these we find in verse 2. where we read, Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of Yahweh and of the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying. So the first thing he does is he takes the silver and the gold. He brought all the silver, the gold, the treasures out of the house of Yahweh. We've seen in the 15th chapter and at verse 18 that earlier on in his reign, he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. He's now prepared to take all that out of the house and send it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. The second contrast with his earlier reign we find in verse 3, where he says, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. There is a league between me and thee. And the word league there is the Hebrew word bereth, the Hebrew word for covenant. And there we have a complete contrast with chapter 15 and verse 12, where we read, they entered into a covenant to seek Yahweh Elohim of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now he sought a covenant with Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad, his name means this, the son of the god Hadad. And Hadad was the Syrian form of Baal. And so he sought a bereth, a covenant with an idolatrous king. The third point of contrast was that he trusted in the flesh. So we read in verse 7, and at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and hast not relied on Yahweh thy God. He'd relied on the king of Syria and not on Yahweh his God. He'd forgotten, as he is quickly reminded in verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on Yahweh, he delivered them into thine hand. He'd forgotten his own words in the 15th chapter and verse 11. It is nothing with thee to help with many or them that have no power. For we rest on thee. In thy name we go out against this multitude. And then the fourth contrast with his earlier life is in the message of the prophets. So that whereas in chapter 15 and verse 1, the prophet Azariah came with a message of encouragement to strengthen and encourage him, now the seer or the prophet Hanani comes in verse 7 with a message of rebuke. He says in verse 9, for the eyes of Yahweh run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. He has a message of rebuke from the prophet. Yahweh is with you while ye be with him. He'd forgotten the lesson, brethren and sisters. And then we find the fifth point of contrast, that he hearkened to the prophet and he took courage. In chapter 15 and verse 8, we've already had a look at it, the message of the prophet, he hearkened to it and he gave courage, took courage. But in verse 10 of the 16th chapter, we find that Asa wasn't prepared to hearken to this second prophet that was sent unto him. That Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Asa was wroth with the seer. He put him in prison. He was in a rage with him. And the sixth contrast, we find Asa oppressed some of the people, just as we've heard just as we've just read, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Previously, Asa had commanded all Judah to serve God. Previously, he gathered all Judah and Benjamin unto him with the strangers out of Israel, who'd seen that Yahweh was with him, and he'd encouraged them in the things of the truth. And now we read, sadly, he oppressed some of the people at the same time. The seventh contrast we find is, whereas Yahweh hath given him rest. Yahweh gave him rest in chapter 15. There was no more war. We read it in the 15th chapter, in verse 19. There was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. But now in verse 9 of chapter 16, he is told, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And the record in Kings confirms that, where it says there was war between Asa and Baasha all their days. And finally, the eighth contrast we find in this chapter, we find that whereas before he had cried to God for help, now in verse 12, in the 39th year of his reign, when he was diseased in his feet, we're told he sought not to Yahweh, but unto physicians. Verse 12. And Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease he sought not to Yahweh, but to the physicians. It's interesting, brethren and sisters, that Asa means physician. He sought not to Yahweh, but he sought to the physicians. That's the meaning of his name. He placed his trust not in God, but in himself, and he sought to physicians. He thought he could cure the problems with his feet. Feet, of course, are the symbol of one's walk in the truth. How sad that this great king, in the last years of his reign, was diseased in his feet. What a sad end for this great King Asa. Surely, brethren and sisters, here must be a very great lesson for us. Here must be a warning for us that the years of peace had dulled the spiritual perception of this great man. The 35 years of peace and ease had dulled his spiritual perception. The power that he had in his position as king, the comfort and the apparent security of his life, had blurred his spiritual vision. And when Baasha came against him, as we've seen, he was terrified. He failed to see those lessons which in his early life he had seen so very clearly. Could we, brethren and sisters, make that same mistake? Could the peace, the ease, the relative comfort of our lives today impair our spiritual vision? When Asa was young, he could see the issues so clearly. And the young ones amongst us, they are teachable. They listen to the elders. And we all should read and feed upon the Word of God. But as we grow older in the truth, as we experience more and more of this life, maybe we become a little weary. Could it be that the experiences of life could affect our judgment, and we could forget the lessons of our youth? And so let us ponder the failure of Asa at the very end of his reign, that we, brethren and sisters, might not weaken in our zeal and in our determination and in our enthusiasm to serve our God, that we might overcome the evil that is around us by gathering together around those things which are good in the Word of God. And yet, despite his weakness and despite his failure, Asa remains a remarkable man of faith. We read in the 1st of Kings in chapter 15, "Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with Yahweh all his days." And again, the record before us in Chronicles, and the 15th chapter, and at verse 17, we read at the end of the verse, "Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days." Such is the love and the mercy of our Heavenly Father, brethren and sisters, that we, like Asa, should be forgiven our failings and our imperfections. Let us then resolve, brethren and sisters, in our lives in the truth, to apply those principles which we have seen in the life of Asa, that we might overcome the evil around us, that we might immerse ourselves in the reading and the study of his word, that we might overcome that evil with good. Let us remember those things which Asa forgot. Yahweh is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. Let us resolve to seek him daily, brethren and sisters. And let us remember the warnings of his life. If ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Let us then, brethren and sisters, endeavour in our lives in the truth to gather together around the word of God, that our hearts and our minds might be filled with that word, that the evil which surrounds us might be overcome, that we might indeed replace that evil with the good.